Praise the Lord, everyone. It's always wonderful to be here. It's always wonderful to have an opportunity to worship God. We're going to sing some songs for a while, and then we'll have our Bible study. But of course, before we do anything, we're going to pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast brought us here this evening. And I pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst be here with us in everything that we do. I pray, O God, that Thy Spirit would be here. I pray that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. I pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst stir our souls, that Thou would do a work in our lives, that Thou would change us and speak to us, even as we sing unto Thee, even as we worship Thee. Inspire us, O God, to truly give Thee our hearts, and inspire us to truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And I pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst be here throughout the entirety of this service. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start with number 169 in the chorus book tonight. Number 169, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness, Thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Declaration of faith in that song, singing about how we're going to be with the Lord forever and singing His praises, singing of His mercies forever. And, you know, that really, considering the fact that it was in the Psalms, that displays great discernment, great understanding of God's promises. And, you know, back then in the Old Testament, I don't think a lot of the Israelites really believed that they'd be resurrected, but here in this psalm, we see this declaration that we're going to sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, and it never has to stop. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, one fine day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will bow before Him. We all will, and I know we sing this chorus a lot, but it's such a wonderful chorus. Why not do it again? Number 72, for He is Lord. Number 72. That will be a wonderful day, and on that day when we stand before Him, we will know Him, we will recognize Him, we will know He is our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Let's go to number 111 and sing, I Shall Know Him, number 111. I shall know. I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side, I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the touch of the nail prints in His hands. I shall know. Everything we've ever gone through, it'll be worth it. It'll be so worth it. And you know, we have so much we can give to the Lord, and I'm not talking about material things, but really we should just give Him our everything. Why don't we go to number 44 and sing Give Unto the Lord, number 44. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto to the Lord, O Well, why don't we go to number 25 and sing Let Go and Let God Have His Way, number 25.
Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day.
You know, it just seems sometimes some of these songs in this chorus book, it just so fitting that they're right next to each other. So it just seems appropriate to sing number 26 in His presence, number 26.
In His presence, there's fullness of joy. There's fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Oh, our fellowship divine, I bless, and He is mine. In the presence of the Lord, there's
Here tonight, but you know who is here? The Lord. And it is such a wonderful thing to be in His presence.
Yes.
And I tell you what, people are missing out by not being here because the Lord is right here and I can feel His presence right now. And we have an opportunity right now to reach out to the Lord. Let's go to number 76 and sing Reach Out and Touch the Lord. Number 76. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord. Number 157 and sing, Open Our Eyes, Lord. Number 157.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus.
Let's go to number 79. Number 79 and sing, I See the Lord. Number 79. Quickly, time can fly by when you're worshiping the Lord, and we're going to turn it over to Shirley in just a moment, but we need to take up the collection first, so we're going to do that right now.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast done for us. We thank thee for thy leading and guiding direction. And I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to lead and guide and direct us in all things. O Lord, fill us with thy sense of purpose. Fill us with thy will. Fill us with thy spirit. Guide and direct us, we pray, Lord. Give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory. And I pray, Lord, that thou hast blessed the givers here tonight. And I also ask that thou hast blessed those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we do have a prayer request. Barb would like prayer for her daughter-in-law for healing, so we're going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night on behalf of Barb's daughter-in-law, praying, O God, that thou hast reached down from heaven and heal her, Lord. For we know that thou art our healer, O God, our deliverer, and that nothing is too hard for thee. And we're asking, O God, for a complete healing, Lord. Touch her now, let her feel thy presence, speak to her heart, speak to her soul, Lord. Let her know that thou art real and thou art right there beside her. And I pray, Lord, that she would reach out to thee and seek after thee and obtain that blessing and that healing from thee, Lord. I pray, Lord, that thou would give her great faith, and I pray, Lord, that she would feel thy touch tonight. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, with that thought in mind, we will turn it over to Shirley and see what she has to say tonight. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. It is good to be here. Amen. And I know we're feeling the Lord's presence. I know that He's here. And I know there's just a few other needs, too, that we need to bring before the Lord. And say, Brother Tim is back in Breezy Point with his mother, and he told me that he kept on scraping the fence. I'll tell you what, I didn't hold my fist like because I was working on that myself, and it's a huge fence. But praise the Lord, he said he got it done today, so that's really neat. But anyway, we are just believing God that He would work and that He would move in many, many special ways. I don't know how much time we have left, but we need to make moments come, that's for sure. We need to see the Lord work. And I know he's able. He's so able. And you know, sometimes we just need a little greater impetus, you know, something to stir us just a little bit more and to get us to work a little harder and to have a little more zeal, you know, and to get to that place that the Lord wants us to be. And by His grace, by His mercy, I know we can get there. I believe our dear Sister Shirley Rahorse in Oklahoma is most likely, unless something else has changed, probably had surgery today, and I'm going to pray for her too. I know I prayed with her Monday night, and she's always online, so I know she's terribly missed here tonight, but we're going to bring her before the Lord and just believing that God's going to bring her through all this and oh, wow, give her that strength that she needs in every way, that healing that she needs, all of these things. Now, I know I've got a brother-in-law that he's got cancer. I don't know, I don't think they think they can do anything. They pretty much, I think, kind of just said, we can't do anything more for you. So he needs a touch from the Lord, and I may be going to see him soon. I'm not sure how the Lord will lead, but there's people out there that desperately need touches from the Lord. Desperately. And God is there to do it. He would not have any to perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's His desire, that all would come to Him. And I'm so thankful. It gives great hope in this world in which we live, knowing that, you know, there's a God that cares. And if people will just reach out to Him, as we sang tonight, that He will respond, and oh, that He will hear, and that He'll make a way, and He knows how to change things that seem impossible. Hindrances and barriers and walls and strongholds, all of those kind of things, God knows how to bring them down. And we're going to pray and believe God here tonight, and oh, trust Him to do wonderful works in our lives, Amen, and to fulfill His will within us. If we could just pray here now. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, that we could gather here together, Lord. Oh, God, we be small in number, but You are here in our midst, oh, God. You are here to meet our needs. God, You are here to draw us unto Thyself, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that there would not be hindrances, Lord, but, oh, God, that You'd give us one mind and one accord, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that You'd work in our lives and help us to see our dire needs, oh, God. To be right with You, oh God, to live in victory, Lord, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, oh Lord Jesus, oh God, to have clean, repentant hearts, oh Lord, and I pray that You would work, oh Lord Jesus, that You would move, oh Lord, oh God, that You keep us, oh Lord, from the adversary and all the wicked ways, oh Lord, oh God, that You would, oh God, put Yourself in front of us. Oh, and direct our paths, Lord, for You surely are the good shepherd. You know how to call, You know how to direct, You know how to lead. I pray, oh God, that You work here tonight in every heart, oh Lord, that the devil be bound in all his cunning, all his devices, all his hindrances. Oh God, we just bring it all before You, Lord. And God, I pray for Sister Shirley, Lord. I pray, oh God, that You be right there with her now. I pray, oh God, that Your healing virtue would flow, Lord. And oh God, that You give her that strength that she needs, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, You know all the things, all the circumstances, all the pain, Lord God. And oh God, all the difficulties she's had, Lord. I pray that You would touch her even right now, Lord, for I know that she has faith. Oh God, we reach out, oh Lord, and ask that You would touch her now in Jesus' name, Lord, by the power of the blood. And God, we also pray for, oh God, my brother-in-law, Lord, that You would help him also, Lord. Oh God, I pray that You'd give him a joyous faith, Lord. Even faith, Lord, to believe You, God, and to be strengthened, oh God, and to overcome, Lord Jesus, to know Thee, Lord, oh God, with all his heart. Lord, I pray that You'd reach out to touch, to move, oh God, to change, oh Lord, those that, oh God, need dire touches from Thee, Lord. I pray, oh Lord, that You'd strengthen them here tonight, Lord. Oh God, Barb's daughter-in-law, God, we're just believing that You're touching her, Lord, that You're going to change her, Lord. Oh God, that You're going to heal her, Lord. Oh God, those others, oh Lord, that have infirmities, Lord, that need a touch from You, even here tonight, Lord, we bring before You, Lord. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, I pray that You'd work in every heart, Lord. Pray that You'd call people to repentance tonight, Lord. Pray, oh God, that You'd fill people with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Pray that You would meet the needs of Your people, that You'd give us faith here to believe You, Lord. We could do nothing without You, Lord. And we need You, God. Pray that You'd be here in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, give me words to speak, oh, Lord. Use me, Lord, for Thy name's sake, I pray. Oh, Lord, I know without You I could do nothing. Bring this before You in Jesus' name by the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I know a couple Sundays ago, Brother Sam preached about the promises of the Holy Ghost, and I think that was beautiful. And I know that is so true, and it's just so real that those promises of the gift of the Holy Ghost are for us today. God hasn't changed. He's still calling today, and we need the Holy Ghost as much as they needed it after Pentecost, at Pentecost, at that time, and even more, perhaps. But I'm going to go a step further than Sam went. On that Sunday, I'm going to call this, Have You Received the Holy Ghost Since You Believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And I know just so many people put it on the back burner, and so many people don't reach out for it, but that promise is for all of us, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And you know, what a shame, oh my, to not reach out and be filled with the Holy Ghost. What a shame to have that missing spot in your life when it's for God's children. And we need it. We need it like we need to breathe. In fact, it is the breath of life. It is the breath of God that comes into our very being. I know God breathed into Adam initially, and he became a living soul. But we need that spiritual breath of the Holy Ghost. And he breathed there in the 20th chapter of John and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," and breathed on them. We need that breath to fall on us too, so that we would be filled with the Holy Ghost, and not just once, but again and again and again. And praise the Lord, it's for us tonight. Oh, I'm so thankful. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? We're going to go, therefore, to Acts 19th chapter. Not that this is not familiar scripture, but it is, and we're going to just search it out and see what God might show us here tonight. Amen. Here it is. It tells us the first verse, Acts 19th chapter. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, 'Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?' And they said unto him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost.' And he said unto them, 'Unto what then were ye baptized?' And they said, 'Unto John's baptism.' Then said Paul, 'John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus.' When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Okay, praise the Lord. We're going to stop with that seventh verse here in Acts 19. But we see here this example of individuals that had not yet received the Holy Ghost when Paul was passing through the upper coast. He came to Ephesus, and here it was. He found disciples, believers. And obviously it was, you know, certain that they were believers, and there was no question about that. But I like Paul's question to them. He asked them simply, have they received the Holy Ghost since they believed? And of course, you know, the reply is they had not even heard that there be any Holy Ghost. And of course, then more questioning, and they realize, Paul realizes that they were baptized by John the Baptist and obviously hadn't heard the rest of the story. So praise the Lord, Paul was able to continue and tell them that John just had baptized with the baptism of repentance. And he told the people that they had to believe on him which would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And I love the response. These people didn't go into deep thought, it doesn't seem. They just realized that Paul was telling truth there, and this was something that they needed. And you know, they're not arguing with him or debating by any means. And even though they've been baptized already once in water, they realized that there was something more that they needed, that they needed the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins. And obviously, it doesn't seem that they hesitated at all. But when they heard this, they were baptized. They went down in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, after they came up out of the water, it's just simple here, Paul laid his hands on them because there was something that they needed beyond being baptized. As he'd asked them, had they received the Holy Ghost since they believed? And they had not yet. So he laid his hands on them. And praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost came on them, it tells us. There is a manifestation when the Holy Ghost comes upon his people. And it's simple. They spake with tongues and prophesied. There was evidence, and it was clear that the Spirit of God had come upon them. So praise the Lord. I think it's wonderful, the acceptance and the readiness in which the message was received by these believers here. And I thank God And we have such an example here in God's Word. Such obedience and such a readiness. And of course, the receiving of the gift of the Holy Ghost as they spake with tongues and prophesied. Praise the Lord. We know that Jesus had emphasized the great need to be filled with the Holy Ghost in many ways. It had not yet fallen on them. Jesus was not yet glorified. It had not yet fallen. It was going to be after he was taken up that the Holy Ghost would fall. But he had emphasized their great need. He had told them. We go to Luke, the 24th chapter. Look at verse 44. We read here as this book in the Bible is being wind down here as we come to the end of this powerful gospel. It tells us in verse 44, "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." And then it says, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." And we notice so often when Jesus was trying to explain things while he walked this earth that often they didn't get it. They just didn't have the understanding. He would talk of things that were forthcoming. He would talk about how he's going to be crucified, and even he would tell them that he was going to be raised from the dead, but you know, they never got that. They just didn't understand it at those moments. But here, before he ascended into heaven, he is opening up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And then he explains in verse 46, "And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he told them, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. But here it is. These are some of his very final instructions. And I would think, you know, if you knew you were going to leave this world, you know, and you had your loved ones around you and you had a voice to speak and the ability to do so, you would give very important instructions, the thing that they would need to know more than anything else. So here, before Jesus ascended into the heavens, he's telling them the need that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. It wasn't going to be any respecter of persons. It was going to be among all nations. And of course, here he's talking about the baptism in water for the remission of sins that would be done in his name among all nations. And he says, beginning at Jerusalem. And then he told them that he was going to send the promise of his Father upon them. Of course, Sam was telling about those promises of God and the wonderful promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. But he also told them here that they needed to tarry or they needed to wait in the city of Jerusalem. Very specific instructions telling them exactly where to go and that they were to wait until ye be endued with power from on high. They needed something. They had walked with Jesus those 3.5 years. They had been with him. They had seen the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the healings, the deliverances. They had witnessed his death and then his resurrection from the dead. But yet there was something that they needed beyond that. Oh yes, they were believers. They had believed him. They had followed him. They had done all the things that he had told them to do up until that point. But there was something beyond that that they needed. And here he's telling them, you're going to go to Jerusalem. You're going to tarry. You're going to wait until you have power from on high, until you've been endued, empowered with something from on high, with a special power from on high. And of course, it's explained in Acts, the first chapter, there too. Yes, the book of Acts is a continuation of the Gospel of John, written by the same man, Luke. And of course, Jesus too, some of the final instructions are given here before Jesus ascended into the heavens. And if we just look at this here a moment in Acts, the first chapter, it tells us, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? See, they didn't have understanding completely at this moment. They had not yet been endued with that power from on high, and they were still thinking that there might be a restoration of physical Israel. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And he tells us in verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So obviously, these are his final words here, telling them that they needed to remain there in Jerusalem. They needed to go there and be there, remain there until they receive the Holy Ghost, that power from on high. And therefore, they would be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and even until the uttermost part of the earth. Oh, praise the Lord. It obviously was very important that they knew those instructions and could carry them out. I know Jesus spoke of that new day, that new covenant, that spirit that he would give to his believers, that power from on high. If we go to John, the fourth chapter, we realize that when Jesus was talking about the living water to the Samaritan woman, he was talking about the Holy Ghost. You know, in this example, that it was an amazing thing there, because here is a woman from Samaria. She's at the well. Jesus is at the well, and he speaks to her. He's talking to her. And, of course, the disciples are gone at the moment. And those that obviously observed this marveled. And the disciples later marveled when they came back and noticed that Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman. But he asked her to give him to drink. And the woman was amazed, because he was a Jew and she was a woman of Samaria, and the Jews didn't have any dealings with the Samaritans. But Jesus told her in verse 10, he said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Oh yes, there's something better than the water that we drink of here on earth. Oh, there is something that's deeper, that's everlasting, that satisfies our soul. Yes, how refreshing it is to have a cool glass of water. There's nothing quite like water to refresh us here in the natural sense. But if we need the natural water, don't we also need the spiritual water? Don't we need the living water? If it's so important for us to drink in the natural, isn't it important for us to partake in the spiritual? So here he's telling the Samaritan woman of the gift of God in that living water. And of course she doesn't understand. How could she? She says in verse 11, the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Oh yes. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, he was making her thirsty. And I'll tell you what, there is a need for spiritual hunger and thirst. You know, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And as he talked to this woman, something began to well up inside of her. And she said in verse 15, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, verse 16, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. And she's beginning to realize there's something greater in this man than just being a Jew. She's saying to him in verse 19, The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. And it tells us in verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And it's amazing. Jesus goes on to reveal himself to this woman. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. You know, something's working in this woman's heart. And she's beginning to realize there's something about this man. You know, she's perceiving that he's a prophet. And he goes on to tell her more and more. And here she's talking about the fact that there is going to be one that would come, that would be the Messiah, that would be the Christ, the Anointed One, and he would tell them all things. And then Jesus in verse 26 says unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Isn't that something? Here, this Samaritan woman, oh my, this woman who had quite a life already, but yet God is having mercy on her. God is reaching out to her. God in the flesh, the man Christ Jesus, is reaching out to her and revealing who he is to her. What a marvel. So many didn't get it. So many didn't understand that Jesus was the Christ. He had to talk sternly to the Jews so many times. He would say, unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And they didn't get it. They took up stones and they were ready to stone him how many times, or to throw him down the cliff or whatever. All they didn't get it. Oh yeah, they said he blasphemed, and oh, that, you know, he must have devils and all this sort of thing. Oh yes, they couldn't stand him. He said, I and my Father are one. But here this Samaritan woman realizes that he is the Christ. Oh yes, and she went on to tell the others, come see a man and tell me all these things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And you know, they came. And you know, they began to realize, not just for her word's sake, but for his word's sake, the Lord Jesus' words that he was indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Oh, praise the Lord. He will show himself to whom he will show himself to. But how we need our eyes to be opened so that we can see and understand and perceive the things of God. But he was telling her of that living water. And also in the 7th chapter of John, Jesus spoke of that living water too. You look at John, the 7th chapter, verse 37, he tells us, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And it tells us, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But he was foretelling it. He was telling them, just as the scriptures had prophesied, even in the Old Testament, of that living water, so it would be. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Of course, he tells us just very clearly, he spake of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him should receive. And he clearly tells us the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Jesus was not yet glorified. It's just that simple at this moment. But how precious it is. He's telling them. Oh, yes. And they were beginning to feel their need. Of course, we're familiar with John, the 14th chapter. You know, Samuel went here too, just two Sundays ago. But if you look at verse 15 here, John, the 14th chapter, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then he said, yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And he went on to tell more about that Comforter. Verse 26 here in this chapter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he is clearly identified, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, yes, it wasn't easy for them to hear that he was going to leave. That was very heavy on them, but I thank God for those promises that he has given them, these reassurances, and the fact that he would send the Holy Ghost in his name, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, that would teach them all things and bring all things to the remembrance whatsoever he had said unto them. And it's also beautiful, he said, I dwell with you now, there, paraphrasing verse 17, but I'm going to be in you. Oh, there was going to be a difference. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come to you. We see this also in John the 16th chapter. John 16, verse 7. Well, if we look at verse 6, we understand. It says, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And so we see here, there was a necessity. It was expedient, in other words, here, that Jesus depart. Because in doing so, he was going to send back the Comforter. He was going to send back his Spirit. And they wouldn't have to sorrow. They wouldn't have to be sad. They wouldn't have to miss him, because he would come back to them as a Spirit of the living God. He would dwell in them and work in them and lead them and guide them, show them the things that they needed to know, giving them that power to overcome, to be a witness in this world. Oh yes, more is explained in verse 13 in the 16th chapter of John. It says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." It says, "All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he should take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye see me, because I go to the Father." Oh yes, he was going to leave them, but he was going to come back. And he was going to send back his Spirit so that they could be comforted, so that they could know him, so that they could be led, and so that they could be guided into all truth. And the Lord would be glorified in all of that. Oh, what a wonderful relief. What a wonderful comfort it was, these words. You know, I know that one thing that is so hard after you lose a loved one is, you know, that vacuum. You know, you realize that it's they're in a different world, and there's, you know, there's like a big wedge there, and you know, you no longer have those connections that you once had. And all this has been so hard for people throughout the years, throughout time, because often people, in their distress and their sorrow, in their need and lack and desiring to know and to understand, and not having the fellowship that they had with their loved one in the past, it would seek out a medium, somebody to try to help them to, you know, communicate with that departed person. Oh yeah, that was a common thing. The pagan people would all do that. Of course, that was in opposition to the will and plan of God. And now just going to Isaiah 8 for just a moment here. Looking at verse 19 in Isaiah, the 8th chapter, it tells us, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, to the living, to the dead?" Can you go, you know, to the living for the dead? No, it was in exact opposition to the will of God, to the law and to the testimony, verse 20. "If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." And so many people would seek unto familiar spirits, unto wizards that peep and that mutter, and try to conjure up spirits that is in direct opposition to the will of God. Oh, God's people are to seek unto a living God, not go to seek the dead. Of course, one more place to go here tonight would be Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. I could just read this to confirm this. Perhaps this is an issue with somebody that, or a loved one, or somebody that we're seeking to help. Go to Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. And in verse 9, it's just very clear here, these instructions, when the Hebrew people were going to go into the land that the Lord would give them. that promised land. They were told in verse 9, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of time, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Oh yes, they were told very clearly that they weren't to speak unto those with familiar spirits, astrologers, enchanters, witches, charmers, consulters with familiar spirits, or necromancers who would consult the dead. Oh, this was strictly forbidden. And it says in verse 14 here in Deuteronomy 18, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of time and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. It has not been allowed. It is absolutely forbidden. It is an abomination before Almighty God. And because he hated it so, he was going to drive out those nations that performed such observances. And instead, it prophesies the Lord Jesus in verse 15 here in Deuteronomy. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from among the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Oh, he is foretelling of Jesus Christ. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. Oh yes, they didn't like it when God spoke to them there at Mount Sinai. Oh yes, they didn't like the shaking of the mountain and the fire and all the demonstrations that the Lord was showing there, revealing himself to them and speaking to them. They didn't like that. And they told Moses, hey, tell God not to speak to us. You speak to us, Moses. You ask God and you tell us. For God, they didn't like to hear the voice of God. So God said unto them, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. But there was a promise here in verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of it. I will require it of him, rather. So that's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was that prophet that God raised up, and the words of God were in his mouth, and it was necessary for them to hearken unto his words. Praise the Lord. So that is absolutely forbidden. And of course we know that Saul, in his great distress, when God wasn't speaking to him anymore, and there was no dreams given him, there was no touch of God in his life, in his great desperation, he went to the witch of Endor. Oh my, that was a very desperate move. He had once destroyed the witches, and here he was consulting one in his desperation. What a sad thing. And it was a sad thing indeed, because the Spirit of God had departed from Saul. He could no longer hear the voice of God nor be instructed by him. Of course, God did allow, actually, Samuel, and I believe this happened. Again, I believe that witch of Endor was highly shocked, because usually when those witches would bring forth a spirit, it would be an impersonation of the person that they had asked to bring up. But here it was. It was actually Samuel, from what I can understand, God allowed it. And of course, Samuel said, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up to Saul?" And of course, the news that he had for Saul was not good, because he was going to die the next day in his sons. But so be it. That was the way of God at that moment, and it would be fulfilled. But it is so beautiful to know that God would send forth a comforter. He was going to leave them in the flesh, but he was not going to leave them comfortless. But instead, he was going to come to them. Praise the Lord. We know what happened on the day of Pentecost. Oh, praise the Lord. Turning now to the second chapter of Acts. And you know, they had been there. They were told that they needed to tarry at Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. And here it was, the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. And you know, it didn't happen instantly. You know, there after Jesus ascended into heaven, they did follow his instructions. They did go to Jerusalem. They were in the temple, and you know, they were waiting. They didn't know what to expect. All they knew is the promise of God that he was going to send forth his spirit. And they didn't know how it would happen or how to perceive it or how to think, but there was expectancy, obviously, in their hearts. And they were tarrying. They were waiting. They were desiring. It tells us in chapter 2 of Acts, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Yes, there was that expectation. There was that desire. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And I'll tell you what, just going back to John, the third chapter for a moment, I'm keeping my hands here in Acts, the second chapter, but here in John, the third chapter, when Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born again, and then explained he must be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he explained about the wind. He said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth." And he likened that unto those that are born of the Spirit. He said, "So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." In other words, it's like the wind. You can hear the sound of the wind, but you can't really see where it's coming from or where it's going. It's invisible in that sense. You can see the effects of the wind, but you don't see the wind. And he said, Jesus said, "So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." In other words, you're going to be able to hear the sound of the Spirit. There's going to be a sound that accompanies the birth of the Spirit. You're not going to be able to see it visibly coming upon you, but there's going to be a sound, just like you can hear the wind. And I think it's amazing here on the day of Pentecost. Here it is, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And it says, "There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." And how did they know they were filled with the Holy Ghost? It says they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There it was. That was a manifestation. That was the sound that came from heaven, the evidence that they were being filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord. And you know, as Peter preached that message, and you know, they just kept on, you know, all those, you know, that were there at that feast day of Pentecost could hear them. They were amazed because they were all speaking in their own native tongues. The mighty works of God. And it was a marvel. Some thought they were drunken with wine, and you know, some just didn't know what to think. But Peter spoke up and said, "These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Oh, yes, he's saying, he's quoting from Joel, the second chapter, and he's saying, this is that Joel prophesied of. He said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. By my servants and among my handmaidens, I'm going to pour out of my spirit. And that's what had happened. The Holy Ghost had been poured out there now on the day of Pentecost. And they knew if they could tell it, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, if we go to the 8th chapter of Acts, we see also not only was that Spirit poured out just in Jerusalem, but just as Acts, the first chapter, verse 8 says, in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world, it was all going to be poured out. But here in the 8th chapter of Acts, we see that the Holy Ghost was poured out among the Samaritans. And we see verse 5, that Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. And we see there's great acceptance there, just as the Samaritan woman and those that heard Jesus' testimony and all received Jesus at that moment. Here, these people too, tells us in verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Their hearts obviously had been prepared. And these things followed, the signs followed. It says, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. Many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And it tells us there was great joy in that city. Then it tells us in the 9th verse of Acts 8, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Well, he was a witch, he was a sorcerer, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. His power, the assumed power that he had, and witches do have some power, but it's not the true spirit of God. It's not the true power of God by any means. It's kind of a pseudo spirit that, you know, is given to them so that they can manifest miracles. And these people had given respect to this man, all of them pretty much, it sounds like, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. This esteem had been given to him, just as people esteem the Pope. And to him they had regard, it tells us in verse 11, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now it tells us, now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. It tells us in verse 15, who when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we see all the things that had happened here in Samaria. Great joy in the city, deliverances, healing, those of the palsy, those that were lame, and I'm sure there's things that aren't mentioned, the deliverance of unclean spirits, and the joy, and you know, they believed, and they were baptized. It tells us clearly they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. But yet something was missing. They had not received the Holy Ghost yet. And so, when the church in Jerusalem heard that they had believed, that they had embraced the gospel, that God had worked there mightily, and many had come to the Lord, they sent Peter and John that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And I think this is so interesting. Yes, they had been baptized, but the Holy Ghost had not yet fallen on them. And here we have this Simon. Well, first of all, we better read verse 17. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And, you know, it doesn't tell us a whole lot of details here, but obviously there had to be some manifestation, you know, because when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. This man who had been the sorcerer, obviously his heart was not right with the Lord, and he hadn't fully repented of that sorcery and all the other things. Obviously he was into the powers thing, and he, you know, he wanted to have that great power that he too could lay hands on the people and they would receive the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, I'm sure they were speaking with other tongues and magnifying the Lord, and there was a mighty manifestation of the Spirit of God as the Holy Ghost came into their life. And of course, when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity." He had not repented. And oh my, he was wanting something for the sake of power. And of course, then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. But praise the Lord, there had to be a manifestation. Obviously, they had not received the gift of the Holy Ghost when they were baptized. And I love it. There are times when I thank God I see people come up out of the water speaking in other tongues. I love it. I believe that happened a lot in the book of Acts. But it had not happened in the same chapter. But praise the Lord, through the laying on of hands, they received the Holy Ghost. I'd just like to also just turn briefly here to Acts, the 10th chapter. We know in the 10th chapter, Peter was sent to Cornelius and his household. He was a centurion. He was of the Italian band. And, you know, yet he feared the Lord, and yet God made a way that he too could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and be a Christian, be a child of the living God. And of course, it's a long story, but it's a beautiful story. And we know that how Peter was sent there, how God, oh my, used that vision to show him that he needs to go with these Italians and that he needed to preach to them. And so he did. He did when that knock came on the door. And there were those servants of Cornelius at the door. And of course, Peter went with them. And as they were all there waiting for him to come, Peter opened his mouth and began to preach the gospel to them, realizing, verse 34, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And he began to tell them the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and dead, to give him all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And it's amazing. In verse 44, it tells us, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. Oh, he didn't even finish that sermon. He was just telling them, oh, yes, that which the prophets bear witness of, and that those that would believe on his name would receive remission of sins. And then the Holy Ghost fell on them. Oh, it tells us in verse 45, and they, the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And how did they know? It tells us, verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Let's see how it was. Oh, all at once they could tell, because they began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. They began to magnify God in those unknown tongues that came forth out of their very mouths. I love it how the Lord takes that unruly member, that tongue that James, the third chapter, speaks about, that, oh, tongue that no man can tame. It is full of deadly poisons. That is an unruly evil. Oh, that tongue that we can't control ourselves. The Lord takes our tongue and he begins to use it. It's not us speaking forth. It's God speaking through us, and he uses our tongue, our voice, so that we can declare the wonderful works of God. Oh, yes, and we come forth in that other tongue, in that tongue. Oh, yes, I don't know if it would be of men or of angels, depending upon how the Lord would use it, you know. And we begin to speak forth in that tongue the mighty works of God. Oh, I thank God how he does that. Oh, yes, he sends Jesus Christ, as it tells us in the third chapter of Acts there. Oh, what it says in verse 19 of Acts 3. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And, oh, yes, he went on to quote there from Deuteronomy 18 again. Oh, yes, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him ye shall hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. But praise the Lord, that's the blessing. Oh, yes, a wonderful blessing. Oh, that it talks about. Verse 24 here in Acts 3, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Yea, the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Oh, what was that blessing? Oh, the blessing. It tells us in verse 26, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Oh, praise the Lord. And then, yes, oh, that repentance. And then, oh, yes, that baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then that gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what he meant when he said, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. The Spirit of the living God comes to dwell in our very beings. That Holy Ghost that Jesus gave up, oh, there on the cross, that we might receive it. Oh, yes, he was not going to leave us comfortless. Oh, yes, he was going to come forth. The Spirit of the living God was going to come forth. He was going to breathe upon us that spiritual resurrecting power of God that comes upon our very beings when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. And there's a sound that comes forth. Oh, yes, that beautiful sound, just as a newborn baby in the natural cries when it's born. Oh, yes, there's that cry. I'm alive. I'm well. I'm here. But yes, there's that sound that comes forth when we're born again of the water and of the Spirit. As the Spirit of God comes into our life to mold us, to change us, to make us alive in Christ, to give us of that resurrecting power. Oh, yes, that we might receive Jesus Christ. Oh, he comes unto us. Oh, not leaving us comfortless, but coming into us, coming into our hearts. Oh, yes. And as Paul asked those at Ephesus there in that 19th chapter, when he saw those believers, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Oh, they had not yet heard that there was any Holy Ghost. They had been baptized unto John's baptism. But praise the Lord. Paul explained, John merely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul laid his hands on them, therefore the Holy Ghost came on them. They spake with tongues and prophesied. Oh, praise the Lord. There's a sound as we're born again, just like when the wind comes forth and we can hear the sound of the wind. Oh, yes. And that Holy Ghost comes in, that mighty rushing wind comes into our lives to change us. Oh, to make us alive in Christ. Oh, yes, those dead bones that, oh, God, were laying out there as Ezekiel prophesied to them. Oh, yes, it was going to take the Spirit of the living God to breathe upon them and to make them alive. They were so dead. They were so dried. There were so many of them, but there was something that was going to happen. God was going to make them alive. And so it is with us. We are dead in our sins and in our trespasses. We are without God, without hope in the world. But praise the Lord, when he comes into our life, when he begins to talk to our hearts, suddenly we can see that we are sinners, that we need to repent, and that we need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Oh, yes, he begins to breathe in us. Oh, yes, he begins to breathe in us. And oh, he takes again that unruly tongue. Oh, yes, that member of our body that, oh, gets us into so much trouble. He's changing us. He's going to be in us. Oh, yeah, it's going to take, you know, a great effort on our part to become like the Lord, but it's going to be because he put his Spirit in us so that we can be transformed. rather than being conformed to the world, we can be transformed. We can be changed by the renewing of our mind so that we can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Oh, praise the Lord. He just didn't leave us comfortless, but he said, I will come unto you. Oh, I praise the Lord. I thank God. There's not a moment more wonderful than when that Holy Ghost begins to fall on us. Oh, yes. Oh, that new life begins to spring up within our very being. Oh, that transforming power of God begins to show itself so that we can be changed. Oh, we can become new creatures in Christ. Oh, yes, so that we can have the very mind of Christ. I thank God he does that. Oh, yes, I thank God. I thank God that he did it for me. Yeah, so, oh, thank God he called us as individuals, one by one, so that we could all know him as our Lord and Savior, so that we could all embrace the Holy Ghost and have him come upon us. Oh, yes. What a moment, yes. Oh, God's people will speak in tongues and magnify God. I thank the Lord. I praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know there's a lot of debates in this world in which we live. I know Brother Cooch, in his book, Impossibilities Become Challenges, tells how God dealt with him. God began to show himself to him. And there in Japan, he was a missionary there for years and years and years. And he saw God work mightily, but God began to show him his need for the gift of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't commonly poured out. There were just a few that he knew that had received the gift of the Holy Ghost, but he sought God. He sought God. He prayed for 3 months to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, morning, noon, and night. He was praying, praying, praying. But one day it happened. Oh, one beautiful Monday, he received the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God came upon him. And I'll tell you what, they could tell. Oh, they could tell. They remarked how changed he was. It showed. It was remarkable, even though he was a believer, even though he had been baptized, even though he had received many things from the Lord. Oh, there was not a moment like that when we received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, he spake in tongues for about 2 hours, he writes, and he spoke in 3 different languages. It was a marvel. Oh, yes, it was on his face. They could tell that he had been with the Lord, and that transforming Spirit of God had come upon him. Well, praise the Lord, it's for us today. Oh, yes, it's for us and for our children, and it's all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I thank God that door is still open. We can still receive it. It will just tarry. Tarry until you be endued with that Spirit from on high. Yes, it's going to take some determination. It's going to take, some expectation. It's going to take faith. But praise the Lord, it is a promise that we can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Again, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that you work in our hearts. I pray that you would call, Lord, that you would work here tonight, Lord. And I pray that any individual who's not yet received of thy Spirit, Lord, would be gifted with thy Holy Ghost, Lord, that you would come forth. Oh, God, that you would breathe on them. Oh, Lord, that wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues. Oh, God, as your Spirit comes forth to mold, to change, to transform. Oh, Lord God. Oh, God, work in our hearts, work in our lives. I pray that you would change us. Oh, Lord, and that your Spirit would come forth as you did on the day of Pentecost. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to be singing a chorus in just a moment. But before we do that, we do have a couple of prayer requests. Prayer is requested for Nick Foast. He's on his way to the hospital, or at least he was when I received this message. Thinks it may be bronchitis, and has been sick since the weekend, so we're going to pray for him. And also a prayer request for Tori and Sophia for safety. They are in Brandon right now visiting Tori's mom. So we're going to pray for these requests right now, and then we will sing a chorus. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night on behalf of Nick, praying, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven and touch him, Lord. We ask for a healing touch, Lord. We pray, O God, that he would reach out to thee and seek thee with his whole heart. I pray, Lord, that he would feel thy touch, that he would have great faith in thee. For we know that thou art our healer, our deliverer, our wonder-working God, and we know that nothing is too hard for thee. So we pray for Nick and ask for a complete healing touch. Now, even now, Lord, we pray that he would feel your presence upon him, and we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer tonight on behalf of Tori and Sophia, praying, O God, that thou wouldst keep them safe in Brandon. I pray that thou would watch over them and direct their steps and direct their paths and let them feel thy presence each and everywhere they go. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing a chorus in closing, and it just seems appropriate to sing number 180 in the chorus. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Number 180. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he. On the day of Pentecost.
I'm so